I would appreciate your prayers this afternoon. Lord, bless His word. Little message He's given me is a simple thought, and I'm thankful for a simple gospel. Pray that it'll be an encouragement and a challenge to us. I was touched by the song that we sang. I have heard. Says, I have read within the Bible what His favor will impart, and, O glory, I have proved it. Now 'tis true within my heart. I'm so thankful that we're able to not only hear, this isn't just a hearsay salvation. I'm thankful that this isn't something that I have to just take on secondhand experience, or I've heard my parents talk about something and that's what I'm relating to, but I'm thankful that as the Queen of Sheba, she heard of a report and she said, I want to go see for myself. And whenever she experienced it and she saw it, she said, surely the half has not been told. And you know, that's my testimony of salvation. I've heard it. I've heard it preached for years. But now I'm proving it. And it's sweet and I thank the Lord for it. I'd like to begin in the 5th chapter of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, written on the board, constrained by love. Paul writing here to the Galatians, he urged them to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There were those that would come among them. We try to teach and preach the circumcision again and bring them back into the bondage and the captivity from which the Lord delivered them. And that's really in a way what the law was. It was, yes, it was a schoolmaster. It was to bring us to an understanding of Christ and was to teach of the holiness of God and the requirements of a just and a righteous God. But yet the time was coming that the scripture says of Jesus that He took those things, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and He nailed them to the cross. There's something better that He came to bring than just following the list of ordinances and of commandments and of things that were written in the law that the Jews were following. And so He encouraged them, stand fast in this liberty. There's a newfound freedom that you found, a liberty that you have in Christ that you haven't known before. Stand fast in that. I'd like to look here at the 5th verse, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith with which worketh by love. It's no longer the works of the law and the outward works of the flesh. That's not what avails you something in Christ. The song we sing sometimes says, His blood is all my plea. There's something here He said that there's something better for you, that you don't have to just follow after the commandments and the restrictions of the law. What did the law do for us? Paul read about or wrote about that also in Romans, the 7th chapter. Whenever I would do that which is good, I find myself doing that which is not good. And the things that I want to do, I don't do those. There's a grace that's missing. There's a freedom. What is freedom and liberty? We hear sometimes those that say, I'm tired of this modesty thing. I'm tired of this holiness thing. I'm going out into the world. And oh, what a freedom and a liberty I found. That's not what true liberty is. Freedom and liberty that Paul is talking about here is the liberty to be able to serve Christ. That I don't have to be bound. That I don't have to be restrained and restricted. That the things that I want to do, Lord, I want to please You. I want to do that which is right, but I don't have the grace. There are things that prevent me from being able to do that. To give us liberty to be able to serve the Lord with our whole heart. You know, the Lord has encouraged me recently with thoughts of how unique of a treasure we have in salvation. It's not like the other religions of the world. It's not just a religion. Because it's something that's deeper than that. The religions of the world, there is an ingredient missing that we who are saved can know so well. The ingredient of love. It says it's not circumcision or uncircumcision. It's not the following of the letter of the law that is your righteousness now, but it's a faith now in Jesus Christ, which works by love. That is the working element of our salvation. It's how our salvation works. It's how this experience works. But there are so many people that don't understand the most basic principle of what salvation is. A God that loved me. And we sing, I ought to love my Savior. What heart could e'er withhold? A love that costs so dearly. The offering of thy soul. It's a two-way love. Whenever I see the love that the Lord has bestowed upon me and the love that He shed abroad in my heart, you know there's something within me that stirs me to reciprocate. Lord, I love You for what You've done. The love of the Lord. That is missing in the religions of the world. They have a form. They have religious motions that they go through. You know the world and the world's religions have self-denial. There are many other religions that will fast, that will deny themselves, that will go to, some of them will afflict themselves or hurt themselves and do these things in a concept of self-denial. But you know there's something missing out of it? There's a love that's missing. The concept of a loving God and a love that I have for the Lord. It's about more than just duty. It's about doing more than just going through the motions because it's what I have to do. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Read Jesus here being tempted of some lawyers that were looking for an occasion to trip Jesus up. They came and asked Him a question, 35th, 36th verse. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you want to know what the greatest of all the commandments are, here it is. Because on this hangs everything else. Everything else, if you could follow and observe this commandment, these two commandments, it take care of all the other things. If you have a love for God and you have a love for your brother, you know I don't have to have a volume that's written of rules that say, here's what I can and can't do to harm my brother, to hurt or to offend my brother or those things that are offensive to God. Because number 272 in our book talks about a law. You know, whenever we are, the concept of freedom, whenever we're free, there are people that say the result of that will be anarchy. Whenever you have freedom and you have liberty and the experiment that America was of a free democratic republic of people being able to govern themselves, what are you going to have? Just anarchy? This song says love is freedom's law. There is a law. There is a commandment that I follow. Or there is something that moves and that restrains me and that guides and governs my life. But it's about something more than just that which is written on paper. But it's what the prophet said, Jeremiah, the time that was coming, that I'll write it in the fleshly tables of your heart. The heart is the seat of the affections. It's the deepest part of who we are. And that's where the Lord wants to write this salvation and write this law upon our heart, where our love is and where our desires are. What a difference it makes to have love. You know, you can look at service to a country two different ways. You can have a people that are compelled by a draft that you have to serve. Your time and your number has come up. It's your time to go serve. And you'll find with that, you're going to find some draft dodgers. You're going to find those that say, I'm looking for a way out. I don't want to go. You're going to make me go over there, but you can't make me want to. You can make me go, but you can't make my heart be there and what I'm doing. Or you can have somebody that says, I have a love for my country and I love what we stand for and what we represent. And I feel compelled by that love that I have. You know, it's what the Lord wants in this kingdom and this army. It's an all volunteer army. Lord, I want to. There's something that compels me that says, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to fight in this army. On this hangs all the commandments. This is the essence of everything there is. So now let's look at our text in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. It says in verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The love of Christ constraineth us. I'd like to look at the definition of what that word constrain is. It is to hold together with constraint, to hold together as a whole lest it fall to pieces, to press on every side. It's a reference like a cattle squeeze that pushes in on every side, forcing the beast into a position where it cannot move so the farmer can administer medication. It's there. To hold completely, to hold fast. That's part of the definition of what constrain is. There's another part that I'd like to consider here in a minute. But something that would hold me in. Something that would hold me in check. That would govern, that would guide, a law that would govern the behavior of my life. Because if you're going to tell me now there's no longer a handwriting of ordinances, what am I going to turn to? The Word of God written on the tables of my heart with a desire that governs everything that I do, every decision that I make. Lord, I love you. Lord, I don't want to do anything that would displease you. Love is an empty word to many in the world. It's the idea of something that I like, or it's an infatuation that many times is short-lived, or it's self-serving. But a love that says, I want to follow, I want to sacrifice, I want to give of myself to you. A love that constrains us. So Jesus said, it's not everyone that says, in my words here, it says that we love the Lord. But if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Because what do? When we love somebody, we're going to love the things that they love, and we're going to hate the things that they hate. When we love the Lord, and it's a gauge for us today to be able to know and understand my love for the Lord. Do I love the things that the Lord loves? Do I despise and abhor the things of sin and of wickedness that the Lord hates? If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. It's a concept that the world doesn't often understand. Why do you do the things that you do? Why do you dress the way that you dress? And we've been, especially Katrina, asked the question before, does your church make you do that? Your church make you dress that way? You know, when you think about it, wouldn't that be a sad experience of salvation? I go about and the decisions that I make in my life are because the church, whenever they accepted me and gave me a member's book or a handbook of here is the code of conduct. Here's what you're going to measure to, and you must do this. What kind of restraint is that? What kind of bondage is that? But whenever you're compelled by love, whenever it's love that says, you know what? I don't want to do that. There's something of the heart that's changed now that says, what's the song? We go just where we want to. We do whatever we please. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's why we drive an hour to service. Because I'm doing what I love to do. That in and of itself is not an unusual concept. The world will drive and go to great distances and lengths for the things that they love. Oh, Lord, how I ought to be constrained by love, even in marriage. The divorce rate tells a story of what love means to people today. It's a feeling. It's an experience. It's something that whenever I don't feel that, whenever some hard times come anymore, the love is gone and we might as well end up in the divorce court. Unless I want to go find something else that feels like love and that will excite me now. But the idea of what love really is, a commitment, a consecration, I'm giving myself to you. You know, it's not something that someone coerced me at my wedding day to say, Clint, you're going to have to say these vows at gunpoint. I wasn't constrained like that. But what I was constrained by was a love that I had for that lady sitting right there. And it was something that made me, it wasn't a drudgery. It wasn't something that I dreaded on that day because I love her. There's something of whenever I have a love in my heart, and I can remember the time when I'd see that back door opening up and her walking down the aisle. There was nothing but a feeling of love that was welling up in my heart. You know, it wasn't hard to say those vows. It wasn't hard to say, forget all others, like I said in my vow. Forsaking all others and choosing you alone because of love. And so you say, why aren't you? The world at least is saying today, you bind yourself so much. This idea of marriage, you've got to stick with the same person. And some people that say you ought to be able to have an open marriage and be free. See, that's what freedom is. But to me, freedom is not that. To me, it's to be able to say, I have no desire to do those kind of things because I love you. It takes the desire. It takes the power of temptation away whenever I have a love. It's why the devil is going after our love. He knows the power of love. Let's look at Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, the 8th chapter. Verse 6, Song of Solomon 8 and 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, and jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. There's something that's so compelling and so powerful about love. We heard about Rehoboam earlier this morning. Rehoboam had a decision to make. I'm now the leader of this kingdom, and how do I want people to follow me? There were those that came to him and said, if you'd make our bondage easier, you know, we'll be glad to follow you. But as he weighed that and the other recommendation, make it even harder on him. The choices were, make them serve out of love or try to make them serve out of fear. But do you know love is more powerful than fear? Love is more compelling to keep somebody. You don't have to put big walls up to try to keep people in from running away whenever they love you, whenever they want to do and serve because of a love that they have. I'm thankful it's what salvation is. I'm so thankful it's more than an empty, vain show. It's more than something that's done because it's what's expected of me. Read about Paul spoke in Ephesians chapter 6, was talking about servants. Believe in the context of what we're talking about, we could all admit we're servants of the Lord. So let's look at Ephesians 6 and verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from where? From the heart. There's something that compels me that I want to do what's right. You know, salvation changes us. There's a reason why I believe salvation makes The saints, some of the most valuable employees on the workforce many times. Those that are dependable, those that are hardworking, those that are honest, that aren't going to try to cut corners and try to do something that's a little bit shady. I want to do what's right. There's something that compels me, even more than a paycheck. It says from the heart, as unto the Lord. Everything that I do, I want it to be as unto the Lord. But you know, I think of this also in our service directly to the Lord. I don't want it to just be like so many religious people in the world think of it as today. If the preacher's looking, or if I'm in church, this is the way that I have to behave. That's like men pleasers. Men pleasers are those that are on the job, that are kicked back with their feet up on the desk until they see the boss coming. And then I jump up and I have something in my hand so I look like I'm busy. That's not real service. That's not real work. The Lord wants us from the heart to give our service unto Him with singleness of heart, not a divided heart. The 1 John chapter 2, I believe, it speaks about the love of the world. If any man has the love of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not a coexistent love. It's not whenever I stood and said my vows to Katrina, I choose you among many others. I love you and I'll care for you as long as it's convenient. But I made a choice with singleness of heart because I had a love and it was from the heart that I said, I'm willing. I want to. It's a privilege for me to be able to do this with singleness of heart. When we love the Lord, you know, there's really not room for the other. And when we love the world, there's really not room for the love of the Lord. Think of the song number 81. Let worldly minds this world pursue. It has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace hath set me free. Its pleasures can no longer please, nor happiness afford. Far from my heart be joys like these. Now I have seen the Lord. As by the light of opening day the stars are all concealed, so earthly pleasures fade away when Jesus is revealed. Creatures no more divide my choice. I bid them all depart. His name, His love, His gracious voice have fixed my roving heart. The verse that we read about the power of love. You know, this love that constrains us, this constraint is a protection for us. It's something that'll keep us, that'll protect us in this evil, dangerous world that we're living in today. That's why the boundaries, the walls of the city, salvation will I appoint for walls and bulwarks, for your protection, to keep you. Proverbs 4, I believe, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of that are the issues of life. Jesus said again, on these two commandments, on the love that you have, hangs all everything else. If you have this thing in your life, a love for the Lord and a love for your neighbor, all the other things are going to take care of themselves. So sometimes whenever we get into a place that maybe I feel a little bit confused. Maybe I don't understand this doctrine real well. Maybe I don't understand that. Lord, help me to love you even more. Help me to love you with all my heart. And you know, whenever we're warned to keep our hearts with all diligence, there's a danger for us today. There's a danger of our love growing cold because the enemy knows that many waters cannot quench love. If our love is burning brightly for the Lord, that's a deterrent to the enemy. Have you ever known of anybody that's backslidden? That on one day loved the Lord fervently with all their heart, and all of a sudden the next day they walk away from the Lord. It doesn't work that way. I don't backslide whenever I have the love of God burning brightly in my heart. But Jesus said that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will start to wax cold. There's a danger that over the process of time, my love can start to wax cold. It can start to diminish. I don't have the fervency of the love in my heart anymore. Whether it's a marriage or whether it's our walk with the Lord, There's danger whenever that love starts to grow cold, because temptations are able to enter in. Temptations are able to have more of an allurement. But what did this song say? It said, as by the light of opening day, the stars are all concealed. Those things that once were so bright to me in the world, the things that glittered so much in the world that I had a desire for. Oh, I pray the Lord would help our young people and the generation that's coming with all the shiny, flashy things that are out in the world trying to draw our hearts and our affections and our love. Oh, I pray that we'd set our affections on things above. Set our heart there on things above where Christ is. That I don't allow my love and allegiance to be divided to things of this world. Folks, the answer, this fervent love, the love of Christ, that's what constrains me. That's what's going to keep me throughout my life. Because if I'm doing it as men pleasers, if I'm doing it because it's what the rules are, because it's what the saints expect, I guess I better fall in line. I guess there's always, I'd say always, I believe there's a warning sign. Whenever you hear somebody getting to a place that, I just can't do anything right around the saints. I gotta wear this, I gotta do that, I gotta watch over my shoulder. You know, I don't feel that. I don't feel at all when I go somewhere I gotta watch over my shoulder in case the saints are there. There is a freedom in Christ. There is a freedom in this love, and love is freedom's law. It constrains me because I don't do things because I love each one of you, but I don't do it because you expect it of me. I do it because I love the Lord. I do it because I want to please the Lord. When I love Him, I want to please Him. I want to see His smile. I want to hear Him say, well done. So all I need is a suggestion. You know what? The Bible says that God hates immodesty. That He doesn't like the nakedness of the, oh Lord, I want that. I want to be clothed in humility. I want to be clothed with shamefacedness and modesty. Whenever I have a love in my heart, it constrains me. Thought about the other definition of that word constrain. Constrain, as we said, it's that that holds us in. It's that that protects us. It's our protection. But it's also, if you look at the definition of this word, also means to urge or to impel. To urge something forward. You know, there's something about the power of this love that we have for the Lord that's not only just telling me I'm not going to do this, but it compels me to something. It compels me to a service of the Lord. Let's look at 2 Samuel, chapter 23. I'd like to look at an example of what this looks like. 2 Samuel 23, verse 13. And three of the 30 chief went down, speaking of David's mighty men, and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam. And a troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was there in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. You know, it would have been easy for the men around him to say, yeah, that sounds good to me too. You gonna go give me some? You're the king. Why don't you go drive him out? But you know, I see here an allegiance and a love for the king that whenever they heard David, and as I read it in my mind's eye, David musing and thinking, oh, what I wouldn't give for a drink of that cool fresh water from Bethlehem. And there were some men that heard that. David didn't even ask them to go do it. But there was a recognition within them. You know, this would please my master. You know, this is something that he desires. And so there was something within them that compelled them at the danger of their own lives, that the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Can you see these three men in your mind headed down there with determination? They come up against the hold of the Philistines, and I've got my mind made up. I'm determined. There's something that my Lord wants, and I'm determined. There's something that constrains me, that compels me. You couldn't have asked somebody just by bondage or trying to force them to go do this. But because of love, because of a love that I have for my master, it compels me to give of myself. It compels me to sacrifice. It compels me to deny myself. You know, self-denial is altogether different whenever there's love involved. It's not a form. But Lord, I'm doing this for you. Oh, what a difference it would have made to Rehoboam if the people, instead of out of fear, would have been able to serve him out of love. I'd like to look at Exodus, the 21st chapter. I believe we'll close here. Exodus 21. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. What kind of servant am I? I'm waiting for the day. You know, I'll have to say from my own experience, I remember a time when I was at home that I thought, the day is coming. I'm chafing under this. My parents tell me I can't do this. My heart is there. I want to do it. I want to go this way. I want to run with those friends, and they're telling me I can't. And they're getting me in trouble. They're grounding me when I'm trying to sneak around and do that. My heart was there. And I knew the time was coming that I wouldn't be under it. You know, the Lord got a hold of me since then. And I'm now a different kind of servant. I'm one that says I'm not ready to go because I love my master. The world doesn't hold that attraction and that allurement for me now. But instead, if there's a servant that should say, whenever they have the opportunity, now this is love. Whenever you have the opportunity after years of serving, and they say, you're free to go now. You can go make a life for yourself. No, this isn't about myself. What better place can I have than to be right here? What a place to be in. Folks, it's a place that'll preserve us, that'll keep us from the defilement and the snares and the temptations of the world. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, so that whenever the opportunity comes, I don't want to go. I don't want to counterfeit. I don't want to leave because I'm satisfied in Jesus. My soul is satisfied. The devil, in order to be able to pull us away, is going to have to do something first with love. Because many waters can't quench love. I got to do something first with the love that they have before I can really get in and pull them away. So may the Lord help us that we be love servants. That we be those that say, Lord, I willingly come and give myself to you. You know, that's the kind of service the Lord's wanting. Volunteer service that from my heart I come and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm glad to do this if it's something that pleases you. Lord, because, Lord, I'm satisfied. You've been good to me, Lord. There's nothing else that the world has to offer. I'd rather a day in thy courts than 1,000. It doesn't matter what the world has to offer. Lord, I'm in love with you. I'm satisfied. The divorce courts aren't full of those that are madly in love with their companion still. But something happens to the love to grow cold before those problems start to set in. And it'll be the same with us. Our love for the Lord starts to grow cold and we'll start finding ourselves beset by problems and weaknesses, and the power of temptation will start to get stronger and stronger. Jesus said, in my words of condensing it, here's the essence of it all. Love the Lord. Got questions about what you're going to do or how you're going to live, the standards you're going to draw, and are we going to follow in the old paths that our fathers have taught us? Love the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart. You know, it has a way of clearing things up. Whenever you add love to the equation, it has a way of making things start to make sense. When love is missing out of the equation, that's what makes a person ask, is it your church that makes you dress that way? Because it doesn't add up when love's not there. And when our love starts to wax cold, there are things that aren't going to make a whole lot of sense. But I would that God would help us to be fervent in love to God. You know, the scripture also says, just like the two commandments Jesus was referring to, that we are to love one another with a pure heart. How? Yes. Fervently. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. A fervent love. May the Lord help us this afternoon that we'd be constrained. Yes, we'd be held in. That love would govern and guide the decisions that I make in my life. And that it would compel me in my service for the Lord. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. The giving of myself unto the Lord, cheerfully, willingly. Lord, I want to do this for you. It makes a difference. Whenever love is added to the equation, it makes a difference between taxation and what we read about there in Exodus. Whenever Moses was trying to build the tabernacle, and he sent out the request, he said, we need you to give. We need gold, and we need silver, and we need materials, and we need all these things. But he told them, every one of you that is of a willing heart. It wasn't a taxation. It wasn't with redistribution of wealth and we're going to go force you to give and force you to give. The way of the Lord is different than that. The way of the Lord is to move upon the heart, and from willing service, I give from my heart. And so as they started to come together, it wasn't like April 15th on tax day, reluctantly down to the very last minute, but you can read about there in Exodus that the people, every one of them whose heart stirred them up, they brought the things that were in their house. Those, the older women that didn't have much, it said they started to weave and they started to make things with their hands. And those that had skills of being able to build things and construct things, they started to teach others and they started all contributing because their heart was in it. What a difference it makes whenever love is involved in a thing. And they kept on giving and giving until they got to a point that they told Moses, we got to stop him. We have everything that we need and too much, because their love was in it. I want to serve the Lord that way. Not out of a reluctance, but I want the world to be able to see. Because there's a lot of things I don't do that the world does. And there are a lot of times that I have to tell folks in the world, Clinton, you want to go to the bar with us? You want to go out to Happy? No, not interested. No, thank you. All right, well, Clint, we're going down to the ball game now. You want to go with us? No, thank you. No. Well, Clint, what do you do? I want to be able to have an essence about me. I want to be able to show something more than just... Because I remember as a child answering questions like that with the answer, because my church teaches this. But I want to have something that goes deeper than that now. To be able to show them, no, there's a better way. You've got something you're going to go drink of tonight, but I got something so much better I'm drinking of. And it doesn't stop tonight. I'm still drinking of it tomorrow morning. And guess what? It's still just as sweet tomorrow morning as it is tonight. and I'm ever drinking of that fountain where I ever would abide. Number 300. Is not this the land of Canaan? Says, I am drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. For I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. For I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. I'm so thankful for the love of the Lord. I'm thankful that He showed us what love is, and there's something that compels me, and I pray every one of us, Lord, I want to give my all. I owe it. How could I hold back less when You gave all? You pray for me. Amen.